Toronto.
Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT. I finished, I got a bronze for being on time. I was, Usain Bolt beat me. We're going to talk to, we have a couple of items. We're going to focus on Palestine, the women's boat to Gaza. We're going to talk to Ellen Hansen, who is in Sweden, and she's taking time to talk to us and tell us about what they're going to be doing. And we will later in the show, we will be talking to Dr. Basil Gattas. He is a Palestinian parliamentarian, and he was a part of the Flotilla for Freedom in 2015, and he is in Canada. He attended a World Social Forum, and we're going to talk about democracy in Israel, the question of the blockade in Gaza, etc. So that would be our prime focus, and we will also be talking about a case, in a very sad case, and one that we hope that public attention might help with, and that is the matter of Dr. Munyakazi, a professor in the United States who's facing removal from that country to Rwanda at a time when the current government has a nasty reputation for its treatment of people, including Victoire Ingabire, who is a woman who returned to her country to participate in Rwandan politics. She's now been in prison for a long stretch. And so another one has been caught in the web of cooperation between the dictatorial regime of Paul Kagame and the United States State Department. And so these are all rather urgent matters. And we will also talk to our old friend, Lemony Tazira, who keeps track of events in Burundi. And you can never really talk about this issue in Rwanda without talking about Burundi. You can't talk about Burundi without thinking of Rwanda. They are twins, in a sense. They have the same demographics. They have same political issues. And as often in the case of African matters, we only hear about it, an issue, when it's become very ugly. And we're told by Ottawa or Paris or Washington that there's only one thing to do is whatever they thought of, and there's never consultation. So those are matters we're going to get into. And I'll just say, by the way, about the Olympics, we've had this great coverage, and people need to talk about it. I'm very, like everyone else, very happy for the Canadian sprinter, Mr. Degrassi. He was brilliant. He's only 22 years old. This is a guy who's going to really burn up the track and has been. He walked into a high-pressure situation, and he came in very tight behind the great Usain Bolt and the American runner, whose name? Freud says we tend to forget those things we find unpleasant. I want to say that I'm really, as I say, very pleased for the Canadian runner, Mr. Grassi. And we look forward to great things from him. I think people ought to say that he's got his bronze and he's got promise, and not put pressure on him about being anybody's heir. I haven't heard from Mr. Bolt that he intends to retire. And let's say about Bolt that we all love him. And he is not one to inflict us with a personality or ego. He presents, I'm sure it's an ego, but what a lovely man. He's got a great smile. He's got a great approach to sport. And people all over just love him. And it's, of course, he's a great runner. And we understand he's dominated three Olympics where he just runs away from people. But he does it with such style and verve. And frankly, just pleasant. And it's so good to see that. Because the clouds have been thick and lightning has been seen in those clouds because of U.S. hubris and pushing and shoving of great power politics, which is how the Olympics, you know, barely survives this. And our concern should be to say, we want another Olympics in 4 years. If the U.S. government continues on its present course, we'll be lucky if there is an Olympics. And I don't mean because there'd be a war. I mean because the politics are getting ugly. Demonization is taking place towards Russia, where you can't say a word about Russia without somebody doing cartwheels and pointing. And this is very dangerous. And we want to remember that the sweet liberal, Jimmy Carter, everybody thinks of him as the peaceful one amongst American presidents, he boycotted the Moscow Olympics because he said Russia had troops in Afghanistan. Well, guess who has troops in Afghanistan? It's none other than, of course, the United States. And we've all lost count of how many years U.S. troops have been there. So if they were capable of that, of pulling a stunt like that, because the Soviet Union, in an effort to preserve the socialist, by the way, progressive government of Afghanistan, that was cause for Jimmy Carter to destroy the Olympics for Canadians and many and people all over the world by making it into a tear-the-sheet-apart kind of walkout and boycott and bullying. You can imagine what it's going to be like in 4 years. And there's another aspect to the Olympics to keep in mind, and that is that there's been a coup, basically, in Brazil. The party that was leading Brazil and has done the most for its people is the Labor Party of Mr. Lula and Ms. Rousseff, who was... Now, she's been removed just by a parliamentary game played by the one percenters. By the way, the white one percenters of Brazil had pulled the rug out from her just in time so that they could all be the officials and the hosts. And I didn't see any... I would have been very much in favor of states warning them about that kind of conduct. Everybody's quite happy to go there and do this. So you see, the Olympics is kind of fragile. And if we're going to argue about who should be in them and who able to attend and all that, let's have some standards. My hat is off to the Soviet Union for attempting to protect the socialist government of Afghanistan. And it certainly is not off. My hat is not off to Jimmy Carter and Mr. Brzezinski and the others who introduced the Mujahideen, the Taliban, into Afghanistan. It was them. I know the Americans are now getting flipped out over who started ISIS, but Taliban was the great uncle of this operation. And I see that, of all people, the American journalist, name won't come to me, from CBS, who has been giving lectures about Dan Rather. Dan Rather is talking about how everybody has to behave themselves on the Republican side of the ledger in the U.S. Dan Rather, for CBS, entered Afghanistan illegally, proudly, running alongside the Taliban. By the way, and let's put a slash mark there, Taliban, Bin Laden. And he didn't meet him personally, but everybody he was with was a Bin Ladenist. These were Saudi-financed killers. And Dan was so, Rather, was so proud of himself. He was just, you know, he let his beard grow. And he stood with his little microphone in the dirt somewhere, he claimed, in Afghanistan. By the way, other journalists had actually never left Pakistan, but he thought he did. And so that's the kind of environment we're in, that it was Jimmy Carter and Brzezinski and Dan Rather doing his part that got us into this bloody mess. And the troops are still in Afghanistan, remembering that when the Soviets had troops there legally, Jimmy Carter said, oh, no Olympics. And he even sent Muhammad Ali to Africa to try to persuade the Africans, who, by the way, were not persuaded. And they told Muhammad Ali, you're a very nice man. We think you're a great fighter. We respect you. Please go home. And those of us who, of course, can't say no because somebody's twisting our arm, we might boycott. But we really don't need advice from a boxer sent to us by Jimmy Carter. So that history should worry us. We need some diplomats. We need people who care about international peace and international law so that we can all have a sufficiently peaceful world, that we can have these wonderful things like such as these Olympics. Just to tell you again, I want to make sure I say this as an announcement. Bette Satoun on Thursday, August 18th, seven to 9 p.m., very special event. Dr. Basil Gattas is going to be speaking. He is a Palestinian parliamentarian. He's a member of the Knesset, one of, I think, 13 on the Arab list in the Knesset. And he is, and that will be Bette Satoun, August the 18th, 612 Markham Street, from 7 to 9 p.m. And he's going to be talking about this matter of which we hear of continually in Canadian politics, of Israeli democracy. Whenever anything is criticism comes in about Gaza or West Bank or occupation, we hear this phrase, it's the only democracy. I think what we'll do is we'll take a brief break, and because we've had some problems reaching our first guest. Anybody listening to the Taylor Report knows this tends to happen, but that's because we work our little tails off to try to get live people. And so we're going to take a break right now, and we'll come back and talk to Mr. Lebani Tazira, I believe.